Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Toward Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into classrooms from kindergarten through 12th grade all around the world. Now it is in its third printing and revised and available at Routledge.com. Today, you and I are going to look at two cases together as you listen to this podcast. You know, cases are the most effective way of learning various counseling models, and I often use cases to explain how the solution-focused approach works when I do trainings and also when I teach students at my university. The first case is going to be about a young boy, age 9. Suppose he is sent to you after repeated problems in the classroom. You were told when he is presented to you that when he was 6, he saw his brother murdered in front of him at home. Since then, he has been quiet and reserved, almost silent at times. Yet, amazingly, he still does his schoolwork. That is, until this year. Recently, he's been acting out in class, and the teacher is so fed up with him that she puts him in a corner, which further humiliates him. He's restricted from going to recess. He has to eat lunch with a monitor. As a result, he barely says a word until he explodes. When he comes to talk to you, he sits there and shakes his head. What I'd like to do as we look at this podcast is also look at the mindset of the solution-focused approach school counselor. The first thing that I want to look at as I think about the guidance of this mindset is to always let the school client define the goal. In this particular case, the young man has been brought to you. You've been told that you are to do something with him so he stops misbehaving. Instead of that, I would advise you to think about asking him, "Hey, you know, I'm interested in what you want to talk about today. Let's go for a walk." Then take him outside. Walk along the track. Walk around the building. Get to know who he is. See what he wants to talk about. Can you imagine how empowering that would be for a child that had witnessed such a horrific event that changed his life, that caused him to go to school, and feel as if he's out of control too, until, of course, he gets out of control. Then I would talk to him about what he'd like to talk about. I'd also want to lessen resistance by listening to him talk about what it's like when he gets in trouble. And instead of going into the reasons what he could do to prevent him getting in trouble, I might ask him what he wishes his teachers knew about him instead. Now again, this is actually a real case. And when I talked to the school counselor who worked with him, I learned too that by talking to him differently like that, the boy did begin to talk. Eventually, the young man told the school counselor that he really was a good kid. He's just had a bad life. And so the counselor continued to talk with him about how he could begin to let everybody know in his classes who he really was. Who is this good kid? I'll let you know next what he told us. As the young man began to think about who he really was, in his words, he was the good kid. And the school counselor began to say again, "Tell me, what do you think it's going to take for people to begin to see you differently as you really are, as the kid I see right now? Because we're sitting in here, you're talking to me so respectfully, so politely, and I have to admit, I really enjoyed our walk around the building today. And, you know, you stayed with me. So I know there's somebody in there that we all need to meet. Like maybe that person that acts out sometimes is just the result of the stuff you've had to deal with. But let's uncover who you really are. So imagine if you walked back to class in a few minutes, and just for the next hour or so, you were to show the teacher who you really are. What might you do? The young man sat up and said, "Well, the first thing I would do, miss, is to move to another spot because I hate sitting in the corner. I really like being around people that I think can be my friends. I don't have a lot of friends right now, but I really want some. I'd rather sit in the middle of a group or something, anything besides just be off by myself. That really sucks." "Okay," said the school counselor. "So you'd like to sit in a group?" "Yes." And so the school counselor starts making a list. "You'd like to sit in a group. Okay, well, suppose I watch you when you're sitting in the group and your teacher's watching you in the group. How might she or I know you are showing me the best part of yourself or the best guy that you just told me you were?" And the kid sat up again and said, "Well, I'd probably be cooperating, I guess." "Okay, and what else?" "I guess I would do work with the other students. And I do my work, you know, at least I used to pretty good until people started getting on me all the time." "Okay, and so what would you be doing that would show the teacher you're doing your work?" the counselor asked. "Well, I guess if she came over, I'd be working." "Okay, what else would the teacher notice that would tell her, I'm seeing a different side of this kid today?" "Well, I guess when I finished up, I might put my stuff away and, you know, log off if I'm on the computer or something, or turn my tablet in or that kind of stuff. You know, you're supposed to do that. Although sometimes I don't do that." "Oh, yeah. So it sounds like you forget to do that sometime. So what would you be doing instead?" "I'd get it back in where I'm supposed to put it. Check it in." "Okay. What else would I see you do?" He said, "Well, let me think. I may raise my hand before I just yell something." "Okay, what an awesome idea. How would you remember to do that? That's an amazing idea." "Well, I don't know," he said. "But I think that would be something." "Okay." And so the conversation continued. And pretty soon the counselor has quite a list. And the counselor reads back the items that the young man said he might try out. He walks the student down to class, knocks on the door, asks the teacher to step out for a few seconds, just a few seconds. Teacher comes out, looks at the young man. She's not happy. But the counselor maintains and looks at the teacher and says, "Thanks so much for sending Josh to me. He and I have talked a bit, and he's got a little bit of a plan to show you another side of himself today, just for the next hour. And he knows what he's going to try out. I'm just not going to tell you because I want you to watch him. Would you mind doing that, Miss Johnson? I want you to do that because you deserve to see the kind of student Josh can be." And Miss Johnson hesitates for a minute and said, "Sure, we can try that, but just for an hour. And then he may go right back to you." The school counselor maintains again and said, "Okay, that's fine. Josh, go show her who you are." Now notice in that session how the school counselor did not talk about what had occurred to him at age 6. Even though the teacher mentioned that to the counselor, where the students could hear the teacher tell the counselor what had gone on. that wasn't a subject that was going to be approached by this counselor. This counselor was going to do something quite different than the other adults that the young boy had obviously been dealing with. He was going to simply ask him what he wanted to talk about. We sometimes call that the best hopes question. What are your best hopes for our conversation? Or what do you want to talk about today that would be helpful to you? And this little boy didn't have a whole lot to say at first. But once the counselor got up, they walked around the building, or they went down the track field, or they went to the cafeteria, the boy started talking a little bit more. Counselor asked about things that he liked to do outside of school, so the relationship began to build. He had a therapeutic alliance, you might say. But then back in the counseling office, there was no talk about the event. Instead, the counselor went straight into, "Who are you really? Because I seem, as you talk to me, I seem to really enjoy talking to you, and I wonder if other people do too. Tell me who else likes to talk to you." "Oh, my brother and sister do." "Really? What do they like talking to you about?" "Well, they like me to teach them how to play video games." "Oh, really? So they must see that you're pretty awesome, huh?" "Yeah, yeah." But that kind of banter between a counselor and a student does so much for the student's self-esteem and begins to build a bridge where the counselor can say again, "Tell me who else you are. Like, what would the teachers see you do if you brought a little bit of that Josh from home to school and showed that side of you? Because when I look at my records here, there hasn't been any incident for the last 2 years. And I know that, you know, things have been hard, but you did awesome last year. I wonder, what would be going on?" And Josh sat up and began to talk about it. Notice the difference. Notice how Josh did more work than the counselor did. Solution-focused mindset can save us every single time, particularly in very, very difficult situations like this, where we think, "Oh my gosh, what can I possibly do?" When you find yourself asking that question, you're asking the wrong person. Ask the student. A sophomore in high school was sent to the counseling office because her teacher was very concerned. It seemed the girl would constantly talk about personal problems in class, whether it was home, her parents, her older sister in college, no matter what it was, she would always come and start talking about things in class, and it became very disruptive to the class. She was doing this in several classes too. Finally, one day when one of the teachers had enough, because she was being interrupted so much when she was trying to teach, she brought the girl down to the school counselor, introduced her as a girl who obviously had lots of problems to talk about, so she needed to talk to a counselor. And of course, she said all that in front of the student, who rolled her eyes. Anyway, the counselor did a superb job. And he talked to her about, you know, what was going on and how she wanted things to be. And she told him that, you know, she had a lot of stuff going on and she just needed to talk about things sometimes. And class was one of the few places she had because people didn't seem to like her very much at home. So the counselor talked with her a little bit and asked her what it did for her whenever she talked about things in class. Now, that was a different approach. And she said, "Well, for one thing, I get it off my chest, and somehow it makes me feel better, even though some of the kids laugh at me. Still, you know, it's my life, and if I want to talk about it, I need to." The counselor complimented her. "Hey, good for you to get it off your chest. Good for you to talk about things when it bothers you. I'm just wondering, you know, how we can work this out to where you might talk about it in other places, like here." And the student loved the idea and started coming to see the counselor every single day, several times a day. So much that the counselor eventually began to understand where the teachers were coming from. He couldn't see her that often. He tried. So he talked to some of the teachers, and they all decided, you know, to think about one question, and that was, what are we all trying to achieve here? The teacher said, well, we're trying to achieve her paying attention in class, getting her work done, learning something. Okay, counselor was trying to get her to talk about things that were going on and make sure that she was okay. So together, the counselor came up with an incredible idea. He called the girl in and said, you know, since you like talking about things so much, I'm so glad, you know, and I want to invite you to continue to come here. But here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to give you a notebook. And I'd like you to take this notebook and keep it with you as a journal. And when you go to class, if you would have ideas that you wanted to share with the class, instead of talking about them out loud, I'd like for you to take time and write them down. And your teachers know that you're going to do this, by the way. And then after you've written it down, I want you to do your work. When you do all your work, if you still need to come talk to me, bring the notebook down. They're going to put it in my box. I'll read it. And if you really think you need to come see me, you can put that down too. But I will read every single thing you write down in that journal. And then if you need to come see me once in a while, I want you to come see me. The girl was thrilled. She got a notebook. She had a new pen. She took it to class. Teachers were happy. She started participating in class, and only on occasion would the school counselor call her in if she wrote down something that was of a concern, which didn't happen that often after that. Interesting, right? I hope these two case studies have given you a little glimpse into the life of a solution-focused school counselor, and the way that thinking about students can make such a difference in the conversations. Of course, if there are students who come into your office that are dealing with current things that are dangerous or unsafe, we always take off our models hat and just simply sit and work with the student and do whatever we can to alert those who are important to them and let them know what needs to be done to help the student. Always we do that. If you like the ideas that you heard today, please check out my website, Solution Focused Schools Unlimited. There is a link in the episode description on this podcast that you can check out and touch, and it will take you there. Also, think about joining me every other Wednesday throughout the school year at 12 noon Central Standard Time for a live webinar where we discuss all kinds of things solution focused in schools. This webinar has been going on since March 2020, and the people that join each week are coming from all around the world. You'll hear people from Russia, from Germany, from Singapore, from Japan, from Thailand, UK, Canada, and more. It's exciting for me to have them join us and exciting for the people that come to hear what they're doing in different parts of the world. Until I see you there, make sure of one thing. May the solution force always be with you.